Our reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. Isaiah 61, the first four verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall rise up the former devastations, they shall repair the ruined cities, the devastation of many generations. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please turn with me to Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20. We'll start with 18b. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I recently read about a regretful situation in a church, and this is a true story. Quote, a pastor who took another church in despair of ever accomplishing anything with an unresponsive congregation found himself flooded with Christmas cards a few months later. All bore notes saying, we miss your preaching. We miss you. Or, we miss your faithful ministry. He wondered if they would be as late in expressing thanks to their new pastor. Well, today we will look at how God says to show thankfulness for our pastor and how to effectively pray for him. But who specifically are we talking about being thankful for? Each Reformed Presbyterian church has a single session made up of ruling elders and at least one teaching or preaching elder. Here at Grace and Peace, we have one preaching elder, and that is Ed Cathy. Throughout this exhortation, I will use certain terms interchangeably, because many of these are commonly used to refer to the same person or the same role. Preacher, teaching elder, and pastor. Also, this exhortation was developed in terms of what God says regarding any teaching elder. It is not specific to Grace and Peace. What we will look at today in God's Word applies to any Christian congregation and their pastor. The preaching elder is an ordained servant of God. He is a herald of the gospel. He is an instrument in the hands of the one true preacher, who is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ whose every word we hang on, whom we desire to be completely obedient to, who speaks to us through this person, the preaching elder. The office of preaching or teaching elder was instituted in 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul, speaking to Timothy about training other men to be heralds of God's word, says, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." This is not an optional role for a local congregation to have. It is required for the normal process of how people come to know God and how they mature as God's people. Romans 10:14 says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" The God-given duty of the preaching elder is outlined in Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. And I recommend you take some time later to read this verse and meditate on it. It says there, "To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." This is the God-given duty of the preaching elder. And what is the teaching elder supposed to preach during public worship? He has a variety of responsibilities. But with regard to his preaching during public worship, simply put, he is to teach us what the Word of God says and make us understand who God is and what God requires of us. The gospel is his centerpiece. Why should we pray for our teaching elder? Three reasons. Because God commands that we do so. In Romans 15:30, Paul, himself a preacher and teacher of the gospel, is speaking here. He says, "I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf." This is a command. Second, because of the strong bond of love between Christian brothers and sisters here at Grace and Peace and across the entire world. The third reason we should pray for our teaching elder is out of thankfulness for the gift of preaching which we have been given. Remember 2 Timothy 2:2 and Ephesians 4:11-13, which we just read, that show that this role is a gift from God to us as people. To illustrate this, if all the preachers were removed from the world today, you would see a disabled and spiritually malnourished church. It would be crippled. Here are four additional points that will help us with regard to praying for our preacher. First, remember that this is a commandment of God for all of us. Even the very young can do this. Teach your children to do this. Second, the world, Satan, and the flesh will do all they can to keep us from praying for our pastor. Remember Romans 15:30, which we just read. It says we must strive together in our prayers toward this end. So it will take concerted effort and focus. God goes through the trouble of pointing this out to us. Third, regarding the manner in which we should pray for our pastor. Colossians 4:2 says we should be steadfast and watchful in our prayer for our pastor. But we should also do so consistently, frequently, earnestly, sincerely, with compassion, with faith in the truth that God always answers prayers in a way that He chooses. We should follow our prayers with actions that comport with the heartfelt thankfulness that God pervades, that pervades our prayers. Prayers and actions go together. And the fourth additional helpful point is that we should remember that our pastor has a God-given right to be an object of our prayers. So what does God say we should pray for when we pray for our teaching elder? Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 2. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 through 2. Verse 1 says, "Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead. With regard to the teaching elders' work, we should pray that by the work of the Holy Spirit, the word of the Lord would be advanced without hindrances and stumbling blocks, that believers would be strengthened and matured, the lost would be saved, and the Great Commission would advance to the glory of God." Also, verse 1 says this, "Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may be honored." So with regard to the teaching elders' work, we should pray that people would see God's word for what it is, infallible, and the actual words of God, who is the creator and sustainer of the entire world. We should pray that men would truly admire God's word above all else. In verse 2 of 2 Thessalonians 3, we read this, "Finally, brothers, pray for us, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men." We should pray that our teaching elder would not be intimidated by wicked and evil people, that he would be kept from distractions, that his heart would not grow cold, that his heart would be kept pure and strong for God's work and God's people, that he would not be seduced by flattery and a love for pleasing people, that he would live a life free from worry. Now let's turn to Ephesians 6, verses 18 through 20. Starting in at 18b, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." The preaching elder is to teach God's truths with boldness, regardless of the topic, regardless of the biblical topic, regardless of whether anyone wants to hear it, and regardless of the consequences. Jonah 3, verse 1 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you.' Jonah was reluctant to do this." And what was God's response to Jonah's reluctance? A storm, near drowning, 3 days in the belly of a fish. Do you think God cares about the preaching elder teaching what God says to teach? He showed us in Jonah that he does. Very much so. There's accountability in this. Also, the opposite of boldness, we should keep in mind, it is to be timid and slow to act. A pastor can become discouraged and enter into some level of spiritual depression, just like any of us can. His life is spent on the front lines of God's battle in this world, and he needs his flock to pray for God to continually provide him boldness. So what produces boldness in a person? I have 8 things here that produce boldness. First, fear of God, not man. Fear of God, not the future. Fear of nothing but God. Second, assurance of God's sovereignty. Third, assurance of faith. Fourth, faith in the truth and power of God's word. Fifth, an unburdened conscience. You can look up Psalm 24, verses 3 through 4 for more on that. Sixth, diligence in doing God's work. Look at Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2 for more on that. Seventh, a concern for God and one's God-given duties above self. We'll see this next in Colossians 4:3. Eighth, protection from the very real temptations of Satan. We should never forget that ministers are a top priority of Satan and his demons. Satan fights on many fronts and is always ready to find a foothold in a teaching elder's life. Now let's turn to Colossians 4 and we'll look at verses 3 through 4. We've already mentioned verse 2. Colossians 4, verses 3 through 4. In verse 3, it says this, "At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the Word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison." Paul was in prison as he wrote this letter. He asked the Colossians to pray for him. Now think about this. If you were in this situation, in prison, what would you pray for? What would you want others to pray for? Well, Paul, notably, did not ask to be released from prison, but for more opportunities to preach the gospel to those inside the prison with him. This is the heart of a Christian. He uses every opportunity his sovereign God gives him to carry out his God-given duties. And we should pray that our pastor may have increased opportunities to preach, and with each opportunity that God would direct him to subjects to preach that would providentially address the sins and meet the needs of those who hear his preaching. Now, still in Colossians 4, let's look at verse 4. "Pray also for us that I may make it," the mystery of Christ in God's Word, "clear," which is how I ought to speak. Now, for a biblical example of this, we can go to Nehemiah 8, verses 1 and 7 through 8. Nehemiah 8, verse 1, and then verses 7 through 8. It says this there, "And all the people gathered as one man into the square before the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had commanded Israel." Then there's a list of the Levites that helped Ezra, skipping down a little bit. "And these Levites and Ezra helped the people to understand the law while the people remained in their places. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading." Ezra and the Levites made God's word plain so that even the simple and young would understand it, not just the highly educated and sophisticated. Also, we should pray for the pastor's family in general. We should not forget that our teaching elder is part of a family too. It's easy to just think of him in terms of his job. He is the head of his family. This is a calling God has given him as well. We should pray for his family. We should also pray for the pastor's marriage. A pastor needs a marriage that is modeled after God's pattern for marriage. If he does not have this, his ministry will be compromised. He is one with his wife, so what affects him will necessarily affect her as well, even if indirectly. And vice versa. What affects her will affect him. His wife is a co-worker in Christ, as all Christian wives are. Her calling is within and underneath his calling. as it should be for all wives and husbands. A preacher is no different in this way. We should pray for his wife and his marriage. We should pray that he would not only have physical health, but vigor. We should pray that our pastor will experience joy and rest. Looking at Romans 15, we'll look at two verses there. Well, we've looked at verse 30. We'll look at verse 32 now. Romans 15, verse 32. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Here's verse 32. So that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. Pray that God will give joy to your teaching elder. Remember that joy is a blessing from God. As Galatians 5, verse 22 shows, a person can only receive true, heartfelt joy from one source in this world, and that one source is God alone. Any other joy, quote, joy, is false and a mere counterfeit. Also, your pastor should be refreshed by your company. Is this one of your goals when you invite him and his wife over, or when you go out to eat with him, or when you have a conversation with him? Does he leave refreshed? So as Christians, we should all take very seriously, we should take to heart this gift of the preacher to us. We should take seriously what God requires from us in response to this gift as well. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, convict us of these truths from your word. May each of us be a blessing to one another, particularly to our preaching elder. Give us thankfulness in the depths of our hearts. As we go about our days this week, may we have thankful attitudes instead of prideful attitudes. May we express words of thankfulness to one another instead of foolish and empty words. Give us hearts that desire to glorify you and enjoy you by conforming ourselves to the truths of your word. Amen.